Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another Event Icons. I am so excited for this week's episode because we're talking about one of my favorite events that I've attended personally and honestly inspired me to become a better event professional in so many different ways. I had to catch up with their team because we need to know what's going on since the last 2 years, how have they changed, what's the next evolution of this event, and we got the team behind C2 Montreal. If you don't know what C2 Montreal is, by the way, just stop what you're doing, pause this episode, and go check it out and buy a ticket and just go right now. That's one of those kind of events you have to check out. It's that good. But named the most innovative conference in the entire world, these guys are just mind-blowingly smart when it comes to events. So I got to stop talking about this. Let's drop that intro, and we got to bring our guest up in just a second.
Hey, it's time for another episode of Hashtag Event Icons, presented by Endless Events, the show where you get to ask the icons of the events industry anything. Just follow us on social media to ask questions. Our iconic guests will answer them live during the entire show. Before we get started, the more people we have watching, the better the conversation. So please help share Hashtag Event Icons on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Just tell your friends to watch live on any of our social media channels. Now, without any further delay, this is Hashtag Event Icons.
All right, so we got our guest here, potentially one of the most powerful people within the C2 organization we have with us today. So she's going to drop so much knowledge and so many knowledge bombs when it comes to it. VP of Growth and Partnership, so she touches every part of the entire C2 business itself, which if you didn't know, C2 not only does C2 Montreal the conference, but they're an actual event company that provides services across the entire events industry. So if you like the elements that they're doing at C2 Montreal and you want to do them at your events, that's a way you can do it, by the way. A little quick plug for them. But we got to bring our guest up. Anik is in the house. Anik, welcome so much to Event Icons. I'm so happy to finally get you on the show and for us to catch up finally.
Thank you, Will. I'm really glad to be here and great intro. I mean, I don't even have to do like shameless promotion. It's all been said.
I think it's shameless promotion when it's actually like not a good product, but you guys have so much good stuff that like, I think that like, it's there's zero shame. It's just like, you should be plugging. You should be able to plug what you guys are doing. It's so cool what you guys have done. I attended the event, I think a year or two before the pandemic kind of came out. So I got to see the event kind of, I'll call it the past, but I want to hear, we'll hear from you in a little bit about the future, where you guys are going and everything like that to tease everyone. But before we get into that though, I actually want to hear your backstory and share with everybody, like, how did you get to the point where you're now working for C2 and how'd you get involved in the events industry? Can you tell me the story?
Absolutely. It's actually a bit nonlinear, but what I think is really interesting is that a lot of the people that work at C2 have stories that you wouldn't necessarily anticipate, you know, and that you don't really think that people would end up in an event company. So my personal story is I was working in real estate, actually. So we were, it was a family run business. We were basically real estate developers, and we were doing properties, like leisure properties in resorts and in the mountains. And I guess when you hear that, you're like, wow, there's nothing similar. But actually, the parallels are numerous. So first of all, it's project-based, right? So you need to deliver. When you say, I'm going to deliver your home or your condos at a certain date, like, you need to make it happen. That's very similar. When you say an event is opening on the 24th of September, want it or not, the doors are opening. Then the whole notion of commercializing creativity, because when you look at real estate, it first is about design and architecture and finding a concept for the project that you're going to create. And you end up working with all these very talented like designers and, you know, architects and marketing people because you need to market your properties. So C2 was actually a client of ours. And at that time, at some point, like my family was done doing that. And I was asked by a friend, do you want to work for C2 for 3 days? Just do some biz dev. Tell us what you think of the event. And I was like, yeah, that's great. I mean, cool. I totally want to do it. And so when I gave my report, My boss at the time was like, look, I want to rebuild the sales team. Do you want to lead it? And I was like, yeah, sure.
Heck yeah.
And it was right at the time, you know, when we first started, you were talking about the business that obviously started with the flagship, and it's still, you know, our most prized asset. It's where we fully express our creativity. It's where we don't really have, like, we have obviously a bunch of clients and partners, but they really look to us to drive the experience 100%. It's under our brand as well. But at that time, they were starting to expand into the white label services, into the space services. And I just felt like it was a great product that had tremendous potential, fantastic clients. And so I also thought that my skills at, you know, everything that had to do with understanding creativity and selling more like a vision or a concept was really being put to use. So I jumped in and here I am.
That's amazing. Well, I can definitely see that, like, that creativity side, because, like, trying to sell the fact that, like, oh, we want your meetings to take place 30 feet in the air and you're hanging from a chair, you know, like you have to have a, like, a certain amount of, like, being able to sell a vision and why that's important in a larger picture.
Absolutely. There's a little bit of convincing needed. But even more, if you go back like 6 years ago, because I think the industry has evolved a lot. And I think the whole festivalization, but also the notion of bringing a lot of like B2C element into a B2B environment, where at the end of the day, we're all humans, whether I work for C2, whether I work for IBM, whether I work for EY, you know, I am not my company. I am a human that has emotions, that is passionate about culture or food. And when you start tapping into that human, this is how you actually drive results, right? This is how you touch people, and this is how they will remember, and this is how you build connections and really harness the full potential of convening, if you want.
I love it. I love it. Where do we start? Let's jump right on in, because I think it's going to lead to like a rabbit hole of questions that we've had. So we've had a couple people on from C2 to kind of talk about the event in the past. So I think where people are probably most curious about, since you guys are such an innovative event, is kind of where things are going in the future and kind of how are things kind of changing? So the last 2 years have been like a crazy wild ride for all of us in so many different ways. How has it been for you guys? And, you know, like, I guess starting from like a little bit history recap of the last 2 years, what has it been like for you guys, and what have you guys been focusing on? Because you're such an in-person experience focused, you know, there's not a lot of live streams that necessarily take place from C2. You know, how did you guys, you know, move on past this, and how did you guys recreate that experience, and how are you guys continuing to move forward from the last 2 years?
Well, I think it was actually, when I look back, I think that we're going to be stronger for it. You know, definitely have some pains and scars from the battlefield. But, you know, when you say we're such a physical experience and a live experience, at the core, we're an experience company, right? And when you start stripping away some of the tools or some of the levers that you have to create those experiences, you actually start being more creative about the experiences that you can design. So, you know, the last 2 years obviously have been traumatizing in some aspect. But at the same time, you know, we got to a very smaller core of people that were extremely driven, almost like a survival instinct of like, what's next? How do we build the next generation of C2? How do we keep, you know, evolving? How do we keep nurturing the relationships that we've had? And I think one of the most precious assets that we've had throughout all of this is that our partners, our clients, and I call them partners because I think that's really what they are, because we can't push the envelope. We can't innovate if we don't have people supporting us in doing so. So that shared vision is definitely important. And they were there for us. One of the most touching thing that a partner said to me was like, Anik, you guys reinvented the B2B experience. You guys will figure out how to do digital, like just go and do it for us. And I was like, wow, okay. Challenge accepted. So yeah. And I think when I look now, like we also seized a bit like the upside of the situation, where people were looking out for new ways to do stuff, for new partners. They were looking for different ways to elevate the experience. And I feel that the industry is a bit risk averse usually. And now people were stuck with not knowing what to do. And so I think they were a bit more willing to take risk, and they were willing to experiment new things. And this is kind of our brand, right? So it was a good fit at that time. These were the last 2 years, right? Obviously up and down in terms of staff, scaling back up, which is difficult because it seems like you're a new company and you're really not. Lots of new people joining in. So kind of sharing that vision and making sure we're all aligned. But at the same time, this new blood is also very inspiring and is actually what you need to keep being different and innovative. So that was like the last 2 years, I feel, in a lot of ways.
That's amazing. Like, I think that like one of the most important like takeaways from like what you guys have experienced the last 2 years is that like how similar it is amongst like everybody has had in the industry, and like how I think that we think to ourselves like, oh yeah, you know, the big dogs, like, you know, like big events, like, you know, the C2s, or like you think like the Super Bowls of the world, that, you know, obviously that's a B2C experience, but like how much everybody felt this collective similar feeling that we went through, I think helps us feel like we're not alone in a lot of ways.
No, and we were discussing a bit earlier, like I made a point to really go at those large industry events. Like I went to South By, I went to Cannes this year. Like I wanted to show up, support. And I think it's important as an industry, right? Because it's been difficult. Like financially, it's been challenging. From a staff perspective, it's been challenging. So I feel like, you know, this is something that we all share. And, you know, we need to be kind of candid. And I think this is what helps us move on as well, because it's like, okay, the people are still here. The people are willing to continue in that line of work. You know, these are folks that you actually want to create the future with. Yeah. And it's good therapy once in a while, you know?
It's true. That's so true. Yeah. I mean, like definitely you get like a therapeutic like sigh of relief in a lot of ways, right?
Yeah.
By the way, but for everyone who's watching right now, if you have any questions at all, please feel free to ask. Like, you know, this is an Ask Me Anything kind of show. So we're here to answer your questions. So submit them on in the comments and we'll answer them right away and keep them coming on in. But before we jump into audience questions, I have I have so many questions. I was very excited to get to talk today with you guys. And, you know, what was one thing that you think, like, you talked a little bit about the partnerships were really important during these last 2 years. What other sort of, like, you know, everyone's always looking for silver bullets. So I'm like kind of fishing for a little bit of a cool silver bullet or at least idea. But what was something that you guys did that was like super successful that like helped you guys in this last 2 years leading up to now coming back to the in-person experience? Was there anything that you were like, oh my gosh, we did this was really innovative, it worked really well for us? Is there anything like that you can share?
I think it was less about what we did and more about the mindset we had. So we all fully aligned as a team. We knew that we needed to move quick. And we needed to all be aligned. And we needed to trust one another. And we needed the energy to just be hungry and go and get it. And I think that when you have a team that has these specific things in common, you pull through. And we all delivered. Every single group, people showed up. And we're still here, and we're going to do a kick-ass event this year. And it's hard at times. There's many challenges, but at the end of the day, like, we're all passionate. You know, we survived. We're here. We're thriving. We have a bunch of new partners. We have a new venue. You were asking earlier about what's new. Like, lots is new, like at C2 Montreal this year. So we're actually downtown, and there was a big, our CEO comes from the cultural world, and he was one of the, you know, initiator of the Jazz Fest which is Jazz Festival of Montreal, which is the largest, I think, festival in the world. And they had a very specific way to treat like content within the city that it really animates neighborhoods, right? And so one of the big thing that is happening to us this year is that we have this partnership with Nouveau Centre and Ivanhoé Cambridge, where, you know, they're a real estate company. They own PVM. They own a bunch of like the Cot Card downstairs, the Queen Elizabeth Hotel, Fairmount. And we started looking at how can we actually, and now I'm talking about our theme for this year, but ignite the city. How do we get people excited to come to downtown, to show up to the office, to build these relationships? And so this is something new for us. And there's a portion of the event that's going to be open to the public, which is a first, because we used to have those very remote venues where like it was like more of a destination venue. Yeah. So that's something new that's very exciting, this more kind of accessibility, a bit more democratized and right at the center of the city. And we always say that content is at the center of an event, and we're bringing content at the center of a city. So it's really meaningful for us. And this is going to be our home for, you know, 5+ years. Oh, so it's really exciting. Yeah.
And I might be like completely wrong, so you can totally make fun of me on here, but like it definitely, like what's really interesting is obviously C2 Montreal, like you have Montreal in the name. And I will say that, like, I think when I was there, you know, except for like maybe some like cultural things that got implanted in the event, I definitely didn't feel like I was in like a new city. I didn't feel integrated into the city. So it seems like your guys' big goal now is like, hey, like we've kind of shown now the C2 side of things and what we're capable of doing. Like now let's show the Montreal side of things. Is that why there's that purposeful decision to like bring the culture of the city in and make it more publicly accessible and that sort of thing?
Absolutely. And I think that for people who know Montreal, Montreal is a hotbed for technology, for creativity. It also has this flair that the way we do business in Montreal is kind of this creative, laid back, but very smart way. Like there's this special magic, like the city has amazing food and amazing artists and lots of great festivals. And we've always embedded that in the design of our event. Like you wouldn't necessarily know because like it's not stamped like, you know, this is a Montreal company, but our AV provider Solotech is a powerhouse from Montreal. You know, the furniture companies we deal with, I'm forgetting the name. I'm sorry. That's not good. that's all there's good. A bunch of like our partner ecosystem from a production standpoint.
It's so localized.
Is very local. Obviously our co-founders are both, you know, Montreal based companies. So Cirque du Soleil and Sidley, Cirque du Soleil being the international like powerhouse that it is. So it was always really present in our DNA, but I think what we want to do now is really be there for our city in a more, I guess, central way, or évident in French is like in a more meaningful way almost. And we found the right partner to do it with, which, you know, we need also. And I think it's bringing a new energy. And even if you look at the context, like cities are marketing themselves more than countries almost now. We really believe in the edge and the cool factor of Montreal. So double downing on that just really makes sense.
Okay. So like I got a rabbit hole to go down. Like, I love this like idea, like of like, hey, let's focus on the local side of things too. I definitely think that was something that I didn't quite know too until I attended the event, is just how like I was like, oh, Solotech's doing the main general session stage, like, and I was like, that's a like a French Canadian Montreal company, and I'm like, and then I like Cirque du Soleil, duh, like also a French Canadian company. I was like, oh wow, like now it started to all make sense, like how it was so tied into it and itself. Like even like you guys worked with Click for so long, and like they were based in Montreal too, and like that was just so amazing.
Brain
I think how local,
Braindates.
It's funny because like some of these companies you don't realize are at least as an American, because like you sometimes like I think like sometimes a lot of times like our cultures kind of get conjumbled together in a lot of ways, but there's so much unique stuff about, you know, Montreal, Quebec, like to be able to like see like these awesome like really unique local companies come through is really cool.
Yeah, and when you look at how and why C2 was actually created, it was right after the 2008 recession. I was in real estate at that time. I do remember.
Bad times for all.
Two traumas, 2008 in real estate, 2020 in events. and the whole idea, so the first edition was in 2011. And the whole idea was, how can we create a export vehicle? So a way to showcase our creativity on the national stage, but also fuel it by welcoming some of the most creative minds in business and in creativity. So C2 Montreal is an actual non-for-profit. Everybody doesn't know that, but what it means is that its role is very much to stimulate economic impact for Montreal, Quebec, Canada. And so what we like to do is we say, local excellence, global relevance. So nothing is subpar at C2 Montreal, right? Everything is top. Content, design, production, like.
Even the self-serve coffee is Nespresso, let's be honest.
No. We bring in the big guns, okay? But we love to do things with a flair. We love to promote our own. We love to stimulate business. We love to host. We love to have the world coming and see what we're capable of, and orchestrate it in a way where you don't know about it necessarily, but it's there, it's present, and it's thoughtful, you know? And it's basically us saying, look, this is how we're branding ourselves. Like, this is how we show up.
Cool. And so it seems like you guys are really having a lot of tight conversations with like your local convention visitors bureau, with your local governments and everything like that as well. It seems like this is a wise idea for something for a planner. If they're planning any sort of large scale event, that they probably need to also talk to their local governments too, because it seems like you guys are also using this as potential marketing opportunity too, because in the age that's what's changed in the last 2 years is like everyone's remote. So like people who might been in like New York City might consider moving up to Montreal, or they, you know, if they, it's almost like the backwards paradox of like they joke that all the Canadians come to Phoenix, Arizona, where I live. It might be the other way around. We want snow now. We want cooler weather, so we might be coming you. So do you
Canadians
think that
go to Phoenix? I didn't know that.
Yeah. I'm every Canadian's favorite person. but it feels like this great opportunity potentially if we talk to our local governments as well, is like there might be some potential marketing opportunities too to encourage people, if you're doing a super localized event like yours, to potentially sell people to wanting to move there too, which is, I think, a lot of goals of a lot of cities right now, would you say?
Well, look, if you are talented, you work in the events industry, you work in any creating field, come to C2 Montreal. It's a great city. Move in. Send me your CV. I'm in Boulder on LinkedIn. We are recruiting.
I love it. That's amazing. You guys heard it first on Event Icons. Okay, so I think that this is so amazing about the localization. So new venue is a big focus of this, you know, kind of bring everybody back to in person. But let's continue down the rabbit hole. Like, what are new things to have people? And I know this part of it is about the surprise of like what's going to end up happening. So, feel free to tease as much as you'd like to. But like, what are the things that you can tell us that you do have coming in the next like year or so?
For C2, a lot of the focus is to really bring back what people are expecting that delivers a great experience, right? So connection. At the end of the day, whatever it is that we do, the great design, you know, the stages, the speaker lineup, which by the way is amazing this year. We've confirmed Naomi Campbell, Billie Jean King, Avery Usvainer, president of Vayner 3. We have the GM of TikTok North America, Ryan Deterd, the CEO of Influential, the co-founder of Sandbox. So there's a bunch of really cool stuff happening. And obviously from a content perspective, like the pillars are different. We're going to talk about what's relevant today. So future of cities, future of work, sustainability for profit. You know, how do we create a path to sustainability without compromising the business side of it? Decrypting 3.0, Web 3.0. and connecting with community, which is more like the marketing kind of angle. Mm-hmm. So the content's adapting. I think this is a big thing that we've looked at changing. Then we're bringing back like an awesome stage experience, lots of collaboration.
Have you seen the stage design? Personally, a production nerd right here. You guys have the craziest, coolest stage design. So like, I remember the year I went, it was a perfect 360 bowl, and you had like Cirque du Soleil people coming out of the floor to like set up the water and stuff. Like, are you able to tease us at all with any of the production?
Yeah. Stuff? So it's going to be about 140 feet wide.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. The stage itself, like not the whole tent. Wow. Jeez.
The stage. Okay. So we're going big. It's a different format. So this year we're hosting the event actually in the Fairmount Queen Elizabeth in Montreal.
Oh, cool. So you guys have a little bit more production available, like the rigging points, electrical and stuff.
Yeah. So this is like the center, like the HQ, if you want, of the experience. And then we're going to take all of l'Esplanade at Nouveau Centre, and we're going to use like the Sidley offices and the BDC offices, which is a partner as well. So we're really kind of bringing this festival city vibe in terms of not having just this one venue. So there's not the big circular stage this year, but we're really bringing up the chops and like creating an amazing stage experience.
So this is like a more like traditional proscenium, like audience,
interesting,
but I'm sure it would be cool to see this, because one of the challenges I think that in the past with C2 is that, like we've talked about in the, I think like on past recaps of the event and with others, is that sometimes you look at it and go, there's no way I would ever be able to do this, right? Like, you guys built it out of a completely custom dome tent, and then, you know, like, oh, this, like these container things are obviously custom for C2 that have all the like the VIP bars in them. And I think a lot of planners look at it and go, yeah, there's no way I would ever be able to do this. There's like, how do I do this within a ballroom? So it's going to be, I think, really cool to see how you guys take a Fairmount ballroom and do something spectacular with it. So,
and it's not stopping there. So one of the things we're doing too is we're taking over a floor of rooms.
Of hotel
and
rooms.
We're turning it into some immersive experience. So we're playing on the codes of the hotel. Like, this is exactly what you're saying, was just like, you know, it's exactly what we're going for. It's like, how can we take something that would be maybe a little bit more traditional in its essence, how do we funk it up? You know, how do we bring the magic in it? And how do we show people that creativity has no bound? Like, it's not about just the venue. It's how you want people to feel. It's how you're architecting those connections. And so Brain Date is coming back this year. It's their 10th year anniversary. We're showing up big with them. Labs were coming back. You know, so all like master classes actually. Like, we just discovered that this is a format that people just love.
Totally. A bit more, like, even if it's not a skill that they're learning. I remember, I think I attended one. It was the guy was like teaching us how to draw. It was like a Disney animator or something like that was teaching us how to draw. And I remember being like, it like blew my mind. I was just like, oh, I feel like a kid again, drawing again and everything like that. Like, definitely some incredible like educational experiences. Just because I don't know if everyone who listens to Event Icons has listened so far back to like when I first experienced it and did my recap of it. But I will say that if you haven't done Brain Dates ever before, if you haven't done C2 Montreal's Brain Dates too, like, you have to do it. So I did. I think the first day I tried to do the like, I'll do a couple Brain Dates and then go to content. I did one Brain Date. I was like, this was so incredible, I'm gonna do more. And I did like two more. And then the next day I canceled my entire schedule and I just did Brain Dates for like the next 2 days or something, like a day or 2 days in a row.
It's great because we have VOD. So you would have been able to Brain Date.
Yeah.
And go back home and watch some content.
So you're doing everything video on demand now too. So that, is that something, because you guys have done that before, but mainly like the high profiles, like you, like Snoop Dogg might be VOD, but are you doing all the content as VOD now?
So most of it. I mean, obviously not the collaborative formats, like, you know, VODing a workshop is not very exciting, but talks on the main stage will be live broadcasted and in VOD. And I think that this is one of the things where digital has brought a lot also in the last couple of years in terms of reach, in terms of democratizing access, in terms of even like connecting people from various locations and whatnot. So this is definitely something that we still want to pursue. For C2 Montreal, though, like we had some choices, like decisions to make. We were talking earlier about, you know, how it's been challenging for the industry. So clearly, I mean, you know, it's been challenging for us as well, right? So we're really focusing on bringing the extra and everything we possibly can to the live experience. We feel our community craves it as well. Like we also got almost like letters, you know, and like fan mail.
I love it.
But we're still keeping a lot of the features from, you know, online editions that we did. But I think like going back to one of your questions around the future and where we want to go and that whole notion of like live vs digital, I think that a lot of the exciting stuff right now that lies ahead is actually their intersection, but not just live or digital, right? How do we create more connections and more meaningful connection through technology? How do we leverage the full extent of what's available in Web3 in, you know, volumetric capture in holograms, AR? Like, how do we really build a true hybrid experience every step of the way? I think this is a lot of the focus that we're going to have in the coming years in terms of developing the experience, because there are some elements that, you know, we have a formula. We know what we're doing.
Yeah. And you know, you're going to do the chairs 30 feet in the air. You're going to do brain chairs, dates,
but we have
right?
The way we do these things, right? How to architect these experiences, where I think a lot of the growth and the innovation is going to come from is from blending those realities together, exploring the frontiers, and just evolving, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I remember like when you guys did your, digital event, like I remember everybody on my team was just like it was very early on too. If I remember right, it was like very, very early. You guys were like one of the first
October
to do
2020.
Yeah. It was like, everyone's like, how do you do this? And I remember you guys did a really excellent job at doing it. And your content was like just absolutely through the roof.
And it was live. That was,
yeah. And it was all live.
Most people were doing, at the time, pre-records. And we were like, no, we're going live.
God bless your soul for not doing pre-recorded content.
We're going live and we're taking questions from the audience and we're going to engage. But it was a big risk. Mm-hmm. And it turned out to be like when you asked, you know, earlier, like that was one of the good things we did, because then people started looking at us and being like, okay, so they can really pull it off.
Yeah, for
sure.
They
can produce some quality stuff online, you know?
I think it definitely like, you know, I think it allowed you guys to stay in the eyes of like the attendee too, like knowing that you guys were still trying to push the envelope. And I would honestly, I think like with your guys' branding is that like, I honestly would accept even something that went poorly executed because you guys were pushing the envelope of what's possible. I think you guys did like a whole custom platform, if I remember right. I don't remember what software you guys ended up using on it, but like I remember it looked completely different than everybody else's at virtual event. There was completely like, it felt totally different. And I think that's one great thing about your guys' brand is because it so pushed the envelope that like you for sure forgive it. You can make mistakes, and we're all going to make mistakes when it comes to events. So I think that's like one of the great things, but I don't think you guys had any mistakes either.
But I'm so glad you're bringing this up. I'm actually going to cut this portion and send it to the team, because there's one thing that we're doing new this year with Valtech. We're dabbling into Web3. Ooh. And you know, the team at first was a bit scared. They were like, mm-hmm. Oh, do we have time to make it perfect? And I think there's this healthy tension at C2 between being innovative and wanting to push the envelope, but also being so demanding on ourselves and so like everything needs to
like
be
perfectionist.
Perfect, right?
Yeah.
And look, when we deal with clients, the all perfect angle wins, because it's like we're not going to start testing stuff with,
yeah,
with our clients. It's going to be sealed, approved, tested, like, you know, this is what we're going with. But under the C2 brand, people expect new. And there's almost more risk, in my opinion, not to do new than there is trying something and having to, you know, kind of fix it along the way. And I remember the first time we did Click, was a great example.
If I talked to Charles about this. You guys, he was so small. You guys like took a huge risk being like, we need you to do this. We don't know if it's going to work. So but tell the story though. Like we have a whole interview with Charles, I think on Event Icons where he talked
really,
about this story.
Well,
it's amazing.
I mean, it was great because it was a risk, but it was a first.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Right? Yeah, yeah. Because he was the first to do like the tapping badges on stuff. And yeah.
The tapping, but the whole technology is great actually. But what I really remember is that within half a day, no more business cards were being exchanged at C2. So behavior that you've learned for, you know, most people coming at C2 have not been in their career for a year, you know? So let's say between 5, 10 to 25 years. Dropped in half a day.
Wow.
I was like, wow, who cares if all the clicks have happened? You know, we probably lost a few clicks here and there during the event. And like, 100%. I'm really sorry for everybody who's lost a click at that event. But people were stoked and it worked. Like behavior change. Like for me, I was like, wow, this is going to change the game. Like this is something that people will say, I did it. I went to C2. We had these badges, they would light up, you know, we could export straight to CRM. So I don't know. I think this is a big portion of who we are. You still need to execute with excellence. I mean, I'm not saying you do something and you don't care about it, but I think the story and people feeling that they are part of, because a lot of our crew, like a lot of our community is or are event planners, marketers, people are coming for inspiration, who we want to see what's happening, and being part of new stuff is always something that, you know, you strive for, like you strive for, you know? So 100%. Yeah.
I think that's like, I mean, really like an amazing place to go, because like we, as the events industry, we're probably like the biggest, like hypocritical, like nonsense in a lot of ways, because we want innovation. We're so creative and innovative, but then we have this other fear, which is Murphy's Law coming at us, and we know things are going to go wrong, and we have to like minimize risk as much as possible. So we're risk adversely creative, and it's creates this really, really hard place to be in. And that's where like I think that you guys have done a good job to show like you can push past the risk aversion portion of things to be able to you know, embrace the true creativity, because yeah, like you said, yeah, I might have missed a couple clicks. I think one point I tried to pay for food and my badge didn't work, you know, or the bad person's thing didn't work. Totally cool though, because overall that entire experience forced me to change my behavior so much that I came out of that conference new. And I think that's like, you know, we talk about like what's the purpose of events, and a lot of it's like to change behavior, get people to change and think differently and come out of it differently. You know, like obviously you guys have done that now through that innovation piece.
Obviously. And I think this is one of the big things that we bring to our white label business, because we have done this experimentation, because we can say that it works, because we can show the results. Like when I'm saying that we're there to, you know, in part stimulate our local economy, this is backed up by like over $650 million of deal flow generated in 3 days.
Yeah. Yeah.
So 100%. The chairs,
we know it works.
And the stage, it works. 100%. And it's the same for our partners. They do more business when they bring this level of collaboration and connection into their event design. And so we kind of take the risk for them. And then, you know, they feel a bit more confident moving forward, or just justifying that it might be a bit more expensive, or that, you know, because the ROI is just there. And just to go back to that community, we're actually doing a, and I'm bringing it here because I think a lot of the audience are actually people within the industry, right?
Yeah.
And we have this program, we call it EXO, and it's us kind of bringing our community together for 2 days and a half of going through C2, but the backstage way.
Cool.
So we lift the curtain. We have a bunch of like special experiences, specific moments of like networking for the group, roundtables, workshops on specific topics that are, you know, relevant to our industry, a mix of planners, experience providers, very cool kind of mix of people, great Montreal food scene experiences as well. So hosting, it's basically a celebration of us, the experience cool. industry for 2 days and a half during C2. And if ever some of you want to take place, it's a limited list, but send me a DM on LinkedIn and, you know, we can maybe have a conversation or see if something that might be interesting. We're trying that's to grow awesome. This. Like, we think we need a space that's actually inspirational to talk about our industry. It's like mm-hmm. talk about experience industry in an experiential way.
Yeah, 100%. Like, it definitely, it's a growing part, I think, of this industry that it doesn't, there's no like, you know, solid place. Like you go to like C2 and you get these experiences, but then you're talking to marketers who are might be thinking less about the experiential side and they're more thinking about how am I going to drive clicks to my next campaign or whatever yeah. it may be. And sometimes I think it's hard to get to there. So that sounds like an amazing experience, which by the way, like, thank you for sharing that with our audience as well. On
and Will,
too, so.
Obviously you're invited.
I'm coming already. Like, we're going to make this happen. I didn't know about this at all. I'm like literally thinking, I was thinking when we get off the show, I'm literally going to say, send me the information about this right away. So we'll talk offline.
And it's cute because the branding X stands for experience and cool. O stands for like community, that notion of like circular being yeah. together. And XO is just cheeky, you know?
I love it. It's amazing. I mean, yeah, you can add like a ton of like play with it too. Yeah. Okay. So I have like a couple more questions and I'll wrap us up. Otherwise we're going to be here forever. Cause I literally have so much to ask. So you mentioned a little bit about like the hybrid experience and kind of the future you're going to. So a lot of planners right now are struggling that they know they've done virtual and they've reached this massive audience, right? Mm. Especially because C2 is an international show. Like when I went, I was literally surrounded by people from all around the world that were part yeah. of my like group that attended. So, you know, digital is probably really successful for you guys because you probably reached more people than you've ever reached before. And then you talked a little bit about the video on demand and how probably people can enjoy the content and things like that. But what? How are you guys thinking about that hybrid experience? And it sounds like, and let me know if I'm wrong, it sounds like this year you've decided, hey, we're kind of pausing, maybe do a little bit of video on demand, a little bit of hybrid experience, but maybe next year futures will really double down on it. Was that like a purposeful decision to decide to like, hey, we want to do hybrid, but we just know we can't do it with all the resources we have for this year?
So we are doing hybrid in the sense that the platform you were talking about, C2 Agora, is going to be on. It's also like the whole experience from registration, the partner portail, you know, like the partner experience is driven by that. So Ooh. That is coming back. Cool. We're
so
going
you can
to
attend as a virtual
broadcast.
Attendee as, yes. at, for this year's upcoming.
So we're doing
C2.
Live broadcast.
Okay. So I'm completely wrong. See, this is what happens when Will hasn't had a chance to even look at
no,
your
no,
guys'
no, no.
content
it's
quite
fine.
Yet.
It's fine. I mean, we're doing live broadcast. We're doing VOD. There's going to be cool. brain dates. Oh, wow. But the focus, like for us right now, we're just like thriving. Like even the marketing, everything. Like we want people to show up. We want to see human. We want to be close to them.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when we're looking at the innovative part, I would say like what we did last year will be similar from a virtual perspective this year. And we need to really like bring that, you know, experience. It's a new site too. It's challenging. Like it's, mm-hmm. it's everything's new.
Yeah.
So that's where the focus is. But the idea is to keep innovating, right? It's to bridge mm-hmm. those two realities. And it's, I think what has yet to happen digitally and virtually is really purposeful, exciting ways to connect organically mm-hmm. And drive pipeline. Like mm-hmm. the clients we've had, you know, metrics of audience engagement, like, great. How much money did you generate? It's like, that's the harder, like, that's the hardest part. And so,
yeah,
you know, I think exploring, you know, the whole metaverse and how can we meet in a way that feels organic and real, and how can we really be interested in developing like relationships mm-hmm. in a digital space, I feel is probably where a lot of the opportunity lies. But that takes time, takes investments. Mm-hmm. And for this year, like totally humbly, it was just like, we need to focus on something. Like we can't do it all. Like we're coming back. But that's where a lot of the focus will go in the next couple of years. That's for sure.
That's cool. So you heard it here first on Event Icon. Stay tuned for C2 to be the first to break into the metaverse. You know, like I think there's going to be a lot of really great things to come from. If anyone's going to do it, I think it would be you guys too. And it makes sense. Like, I think you bring up a really solid point that like everyone has to hear, which is like, there's so much stuff. As much as like we're concerned about budgets and do I have enough time to do hybrid? Should I do this? Like ultimately, like you guys almost have this unlimited possibilities in terms of your partners you can bring in and possibilities that can go in, but you have to still choose focus. And I think that's like a really important thing. And, it's funny, as much as I talk to planners all the time about like how much your event is virtual, and like I'm right now a big proponent for like you should have at least some virtual component with, you know, not denying that audience in any sort of way. But whenever I hear people who say they're not going virtual at all, it's never an answer of focus. It's a work concern over budget and time, or let's be honest, let's just rewind the clock to 2019 and do 2019's phase. But I think focus is an appropriate answer for it. But I think to your guys' point, it's focus about this year. It's like one eye on this year, rocking and rolling, but then you're kind of like keeping an eye over on the metaverse stuff and like, how can we make this virtual experience better? And it's like it's the ability to almost like be patting your head and rubbing your stomach at the same time.
Yeah.
You gotta like be able to do like be focused, but then still have a little bit of an eye on the future. And it sounds like that's what you guys are doing.
Yeah, I mean, totally. And there's, you know, there's also just practicality. This year we wanted to execute well, what we're known for doing well. Mm-hmm. And I think when we're going to really show up, it's going to be, you know, with something very exciting. Okay. So we're being patient and we're making sure that we're building in the right way, that we're sourcing the right talent to, right partners, strategic partners. So these are definitely all things that we're keeping very close to our vision and, you know, our priorities.
I love it. Man, I'm trying to make sure I don't continue out down any too deep of rabbit holes of questions. I think one of the things that we'll have to say is like just to, I think, make this easier, because a lot of it I'm like trying to help also explain what's going to come. But it sounds like a big part of this is too. And by the way, like Anik did not pay me to like promote this event. I just love your guys' events so much. So I'm just going to selflessly like help promote you guys in a lot of ways. But I think that people just need to just attend the, like either physically attend the event or consider doing the digital version of the event as well. And it sounds like that's going to be a big goal. I would recommend for anybody, if a call to action is to go check out the event and experience what it's like. But to give everyone one last sense of like something that you're really excited for, what's one part of this year's event that you are most excited for or most curious to see how it turns out?
That new experimentation that we're doing with Valtic is definitely one. Cool. I'm really also just interested overall to see, like, we have data, right, on previous years in terms of connection, number of brain dates generated. I'm curious to see how will people behaviors have changed or evolved. Cool. I'm just curious. It's like, you know, we've done a bunch of client events in the last couple of months, and there was just new energy. There was just something that was a bit different in the way people behave, people engaged. So I'm curious to see that. I'm also curious to see the actual like brand impact of being in, you know, a very central spot downtown, and having a portion of the event open to the public. I'm curious to see like what will that generate, because we're pretty good at generating like social media impact, and like a lot of what we do is beautiful, and it's beautiful because we want to inspire. It's beautiful because we also want people to share, right? So having like this layer of accessibility will be interesting. So these, I think, are a lot of the things I'm kind of curious about, because some of the things I'm like, okay, I know it's going to go well. Like we know this, like, you know, but, and just like seeing stars live again. I'm like closing my eyes, seeing Naomi work on the plaza. Right? I'm like, okay, this is going to be great. You know, like there's this notion of like that star power live that is just special too, you know, so.
Totally. I love it. I definitely think we'll be really excited to see what ends up happening. You guys usually do like a big report afterwards and you share like the data of what you learned. Yeah. Are you guys planning on doing that again this next year too?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's funny. We were just talking about that a bit earlier. You know, what are the data that we want to collect and stuff and the story we want to tell. So that's going to be a big part of it. That's for sure.
Cool.
And it's important just to have your hand on the pulse. Like it's been different, you know, maybe people have changed the audience. I'm even curious to see like who's attending as the demographic change.
Oh my gosh.
Have like, there's so many things, right? That is like, start from the consumer, I guess, and the participant that I'm curious about.
It's such a good point too. Like that, I'll take a chance to like reiterate something I've been telling a lot of people too. It's like everybody's event attendees have changed. Like everybody has changed, period, in their entire lives over the last 2 years. Like, right. Like I used to be on a plane 95% of the time. Now I'm like, I went on my, like, I was gone for 2 weeks last week for like two speaking engagements and went to a festival. And that was so long for me. That was the longest I've been away from home. So like if I've changed as a planner, certainly the attendees have changed. And I think it's gonna be really cool for you guys to see like how the demographic has shifted. Like literally you're gonna have totally new people coming in, but like also just too, like what kind of people are showing up for this? Like you said, it's primarily been event people and marketers. Maybe you'll shift more towards marketers this year, maybe more towards event people. Who knows? But yeah. I think it's gonna be really cool to see that report that you guys come up with. And just a friendly reminder to all planners out there, do what they're doing. Collect the data and then analyze it afterwards and plan next year based on that data. So I love it. Okay. So I want to make sure I get you out on the time I told you I schedule you get you out of here.
Okay,
so
we're going to have plenty of combos at C2 this year.
This is true. So my question for you, to wrap everything on up, if you had to like, you know, pick, let's do resources first. First, any resources that you want to share? Where do you go for inspiration? Where are you going to stay on top of things? That sort of thing.
I think one of the things that's really exciting about C2 is that we are so diverse in our talent pool. And I think that our sources of inspiration are so diverse too. I have plenty. Like I read a lot. You know, obviously I do like my Wired magazine, my Fastco, you know, The Economist. So I have my go-tos in terms of you know, I guess more news and magazines. And I love shows like live entertainment. I think a lot of, you know, what people are doing. I went to this most amazing like outdoor festival.
What's the most one that like really influenced you? What show did you really enjoy recently?
In the forest, it was Patrick Watson, Under the Stars, 200 people, completely cinematographic stage, like touching, you know, where it's not about big production. It's about how they created that environment. But I'm also passionate about anything spy. And Lex Fridman has this podcast where he's interviewing an ex-CIA. And he's saying that the number one superpower you need as a spy is to understand humans and be able to create human connections. And so inspiration, my point is like inspiration comes from
anywhere,
so many places, anywhere, right? And it's about just, I guess, being curious. And I think too is creating time to just freely talk about stuff. You know, I think one thing we've lost by not being in the office is this capability of randomly catching on to a conversation and sharing, and then something magical can turn out of that, or you can have an aha moment.
Totally.
Like the team here is a huge source of inspiration. Like there's younger people more connected than me by 10 times that do everything culturally and whatnot, and like they're super inspiring. So, you know, I think it's taking the time to engage, to listen, to share. Oh, I've seen this amazing stuff. Why was it so great? Oh, could that be an idea for this? You know, like just the humans. Yeah.
You bring up a really good point that like, since we've lost the office kind of random collision of ideas too, that you sometimes have to make it more purposeful on it too. I was watching an interview with Mr. Beast, like the famous YouTuber, and he was talking about how he would sometimes just go up to his employees and be like, teach me something. Like, teach me something new, you know? And he didn't care what it was. Like, it would just be like, teach me something new. And apparently he has like a time scheduled every night or something like that he goes for a walk, and he just calls a random person and says, hey, teach me something, just to get like exposed to new ideas. Cause like, you know, I'm sure it's really hard for you guys too, that you've reached like the top of your craft in a lot of ways. So it's also really hard to like get inspiration from other events, because you've probably tried everything every other event's done, because they're looking at you in a lot of ways.
Yes and no, you know, like when you go to a show, like when you go to a big
maybe
star
business
show,
conference would be the best term. Yeah. Then. Yeah. But like definitely shows can be good.
Great stuff. I don't know. But yeah, I totally relate in terms of trends. Like Delphine, our head of marketing and brand, like the other day, she was like, I always tell my kids, show me what's on platforms, like show me what's on TikTok, what's trending, what's cool.
What's cool.
And I love that.
You need to. You need to. Yeah, you get like that constant exposure, like you're talking about. So
yeah,
I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool. So we got some good resources on there. Also, I'll just give one more shameless plug. Where do people go, like if they want to buy tickets, if they want to go, they want to attend, or they just want to like learn more about C2?
C2Montreal.com for the C2 Montreal event, C2.biz for everything that has to do with our white label and space services. And seriously, anybody from the industry that wants to come to ICSO, you know, we're doing September. I know it's a bit tight, but we're coming back in May next year. So DM me on LinkedIn. You know, just love talking to people and building that community. So hit me up.
Yes, I love it. Okay, so now I get to like give you your mic drop moment. What's your like, for anybody out there that's planning an event today, what's your like number one tip that you would give from? It can be something you talked about earlier or something completely new.
Be bold and dare. I think, you know, not blindlessly, but it goes back to what you were saying earlier about this notion of like wanting to be innovative and cool and bringing great experiences. And then this notion of being really risk averse. At the end of the day, especially when you're planning for executives, you know, high level executives, these people, they go to the best restaurants, they go to the best hotels, they go see great shows. Why would they not want to live something special when they're actually going to a meeting, spending their time there? Why wouldn't we design something that is surprising, is exciting, touches the emotion? Can be seen like a risk, but I think that, you know, at the end of the day, it's probably what can yield the most ROI and impact.
I love that. That's amazing. Like, it's almost like I have this question in burning my head. Why do we spend so much money to go to like music festivals and cool cultural experiences? And we spend our personal money, lots and lots of money to do this. But yet when it comes to business conferences, we have to try to like convince our boss to pay for it. Otherwise we're not going to the conference, right? Like in a lot of ways. And it's to your point, like we all experience amazing experiences around us. So like we have to be bold and try something different. Otherwise we're going to fall into that like monotonous situation. Mm. That's so beautiful and amazing. Anik, oh my gosh. It's been so amazing having you on the show. It's been so much getting to see the behind the scenes and get a little bit of that XO behind the curtain scene of everything that's been going on.
We should do it after C2.
We definitely do. We're going to do an after report on here too. So we're going to do an after recap. Also, want to give a shout out to Susan. Thank you so much for joining us live and listening on in. I think we kind of blew the audience's mind. Not a lot of people had questions today, but thank you guys so much for joining us. And Susan, thank you so much for joining us as well. But
thank you, Susan.
Anik, thank you so much for joining us and being able to share your thoughts and all your inspirations. We really appreciate you.
Thank you, Will, for having me. It's been a pleasure, and I'll see you soon.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And thanks again, everybody, for tuning on in. If you love this conversation, make sure to head over to event-icons.com. We've had past conversations where we dive even further into C2. We've had Charles on the show talk about Click. I'm a big fanboy, obviously, of everything that these guys are doing. So make sure that you go check out those episodes and subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes as well, because, you know, that's where it's going to be. And also, you know, come join all the awesome Facebook groups and communities that we got going on. All right, we got to get out of here. We got to get back to going crushing the events industry completely and getting ready for the conference coming up in September. But thanks, everybody, for joining us. And this has been Event Icons. See you later. Bye.
Thank you for joining us for another amazing episode of Hashtag Event Icons. To catch all of the bonus content, resources mentioned, and an invite to our Facebook and LinkedIn groups, head to www.event-icons.com. Also, let us know what you thought about this week's episode. Share your biggest takeaway and just tag your social media posts with hashtag Event Icons. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you again soon, right here on hashtag Event Icons.